This was my first time going, and I was extremely thrilled with everything that was provided, from the materials to being able to meet the speakers and authors of books.
Ben from Green Bay, Wisconsin, talking about the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
Thank you for putting on the conference and providing the educational material that we can use in our world today.
Learn more about our fall Making the Case conference at issuesetc.org.
Roe v. Wade is an important precedent of the Supreme Court. It's been reaffirmed many times.
The purpose of assisted suicide is to eliminate suffering. And they are also saying eliminating the sufferer is an acceptable way to do that.
I think it's exceedingly myopic and narcissistic to think that the church is that fluid, that it changes so quickly with the times.
He joins himself to us again and again in the Holy Communion as one flesh with him. He is to us everything, everything that Adam should have been to Eve, and even more.
Hi, this is Nick from Washington State, and I'm a carpenter who loves to listen to Issues, Etc.
You hear people say it all the time, and perhaps you've said it yourself. Why is there so much bad news? Why is all the news bad? Why don't we hear more good news? And the old saying, of course, is if it bleeds, it leads. That means bad news, car crashes, fires, shootings. That's what usually occupies a lot of the news. And the same, well, tends to be true when the news is of a religious angle. Bad news in religion seems to play, get a lot more interest from journalists and those who consume the news than does any kind of good news. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Wednesday afternoon, September the 12th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk about media coverage of positive religion stories. Terry Mattingly will be our guest for the first part of this hour of Issues Etc. Pastor Hans Feeney joins us after that. Senior contributor to The Federalist will talk about remembering the 2001 terrorist attacks. Pastor Tom Baker will join us to teach a Sunday school lesson on Joseph's troubles in Genesis 39. And Dr. John Warwick Montgomery will be our guest for the last half hour of the program. We're going to talk about a reform plan of Islamic institutions in France. Why do some believe it's necessary? Has it been tried before? And is it the solution that France is looking for? Feel free to join us with questions or comments as well. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. And the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about media coverage of positive religion stories, Terry Mattingly, Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He is founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, welcome back.
Glad to be here.
People say that they want more positive religion news stories. Why don't we have more of them?
Well, this is really kind of a two-part equation, based on my own experience in newsrooms. One reason we don't have more positive, and often when people say the word positive, what they mean is religion stories that feel like religion, that are spiritual, that talk about spiritual things and faith having an impact in the lives of real people. When they talk about negative stories, they're talking about controversies and political events, either secular politics, sacred politics, or both, or scandals. That's what they consider negative. And of course, among religious people, what you hear there is, oh, I know, you're just running that stuff to sell newspapers. So there's this assumption, like you said, the bleed it leads equation. There's an assumption that it's true. And the flip side of the coin, however, is editors have accepted that. And editors, for the most part, they don't want to see spiritual stories in the paper, in large part because they don't believe that those stories are news, that they are hard news. This goes back to things you and I have talked many times about the fact that the ultimate religion of the newsroom tends to be political. It tends to be politics, and controversy certainly leaps to the top of the page more than soothing stories about positive trends in the lives of people. So that's part of it. Now, the dark side that I've learned over 15 years of doing Get Religion is I'm not sure that it's as accurate as it used to be to say that people love reading positive spiritual stories. And that could even be a story that has like a darker or sadder subtext, but it's ultimately, we're talking about stories that kind of lift up the human spirit. During the decade or so I was in Denver, the two stories that I wrote that received the most reader attention and feedback were the exact polar opposites of this question. One was your classic church scandal story about a major clergyman in the city of Denver arrested for a sex crime. Now, you don't get more scandalous than that, something torn right out of the police blotter. The other story that got stunning, amazing levels of attention from readers was a story where I walked in the newsroom on a Saturday and an editor handed me a note. Someone had called in a story and he handed me the note, and before I read it, he said, "I want to cry by the third paragraph or you're fired." And this was a story of a young woman who, Lutheran if I remember correctly, a young woman who had moved up her wedding 2 or 3 months, in effect had canceled her wedding and moved it up because her father's cancer diagnosis had changed. And they decided before he died to hold their wedding ceremony at the side of his bed in hospice. And I was invited to come attend the ceremony by someone in the family who knew my work in the paper. So that's a sad story, but do you see what I mean when I say that's an uplifting story about the human spirit? I mean, it ended up being a very touching story. It was a story about family and about faith and about this man wrestling with why was this happening to me. I noted when I went in to talk to him that he had a copy of the classic book When Bad Things Happen to Good People on his nightstand next to his bed. So you had all of these things, but in the end, it was a positive story. And it got a huge reaction, just as big as that scandal story. Now, in this long, rambling answer to your question, here's the thing that has me upset about the internet age. It seems that in the world of cyberspace, people love to click forward on really, really, really nasty bad things or really, really uplifting positive things. But what we have seen at Get Religion is that the stories that people care about the most are almost always negative. If we want to get reader attention, we write posts about bad coverage of scandals, culture war issues, and all of those usual suspects that kind of give the press bad reps. What's depressing is that when we find a really positive, well-constructed, wonderful news story, and we write a post about it, hardly anyone reads it, and hardly anyone forwards it, which is crucial, because in the world of social media, as I'm sure you know, clicking forward or recommend or retweeting is the entire name of the game, right?
Let's talk a little bit about, if you have, say, an example. I think you said you were looking at your local Knoxville paper down in the Tennessee area.
Right.
And you came across a headline that is of the kind of fits this to a T. What did you observe there?
Okay, this was a huge Sunday morning story. I mean, it was at least 50 inches in length, 4 or 5 or 6 pieces of art, took up the better part of 2 pages of the newspaper. And it started, most importantly, on page 1 of the Sunday paper, which is the highest traffic spot that you can possibly get in a newspaper. Now, right up front, let me stress that this is a story with a lot of darkness to it, a lot of sadness, tragedy, and here's the key, the reason it was on page 1, undoubtedly, was this was a story linked to perhaps the most horrific and certainly discussed and debated pair of murders in the recent history of East Tennessee. The torture, rape, and murder of Shannon Christian and her boyfriend Christopher Newsom after a carjacking in Knoxville, Tennessee. And the trials went on and on. It was just horrible stuff. And one of the things that kind of, I mean, out of all the terrible aspects of this trial and this crime, was the face of Shannon's father, Gary Christian. If you look at the media coverage back from then, his face was just an iconic image of grief, agony, and frankly, furious anger. I mean, anger to the degree of clearly this was a man who wanted vengeance. And so what the story that ended up on the front page of the Knoxville paper the other day was a story, a spiritual story, literally a story with an altar call in it, several of them, a story with Easter in it, a story with Christian friends praying for the restoration of a friend of theirs. It was all about how Gary Christian, the father of this girl who was murdered, how he regained his faith, and how now he goes around and speaks in churches, accepting no stipends for his appearances, to talk about healing and regaining faith and trusting God to move on as he gives his testimony of how he got over, as much as a person can, this horrible loss and regained his relationship with Christ. And it was expressed in just that kind of language. It was an unbelievably explicit spiritual story with the dark parts written about in strong language and just as much the negative parts. I thought it was an amazing story, and I wrote up a lengthy piece kind of praising the story and recommending it to our readers as an example of the kind of positive news that readers say they want. So that's the example I'm talking about. The problem here, from my perspective as someone who runs a website, is looking at this now in the rearview mirror days later, this is an astonishingly poor performing post at Get Religion, one that has attracted some of the lowest readership of our week and almost zero social media activity in terms of people reading it and forwarding it and saying to their friends, you've got to see this. This is amazing. Isn't this what we want to see more of? And I don't know what to say about that.
When we come back from this break, I guess it does raise the question of whether or not it's true that we want to see more positive news and maybe more positive religion news in general. Do we really want it, or do we just like saying that? We'll also talk about how maybe the standard for a story like this has to be even higher. Stay tuned.
You have us
Western civilization, infant baptism, transgenderism, a legal case for the resurrection, the First Amendment, revisionist history. Your favorite guests will address these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 9th and 10th in Dallas. Learn more at issuesetc.org. Making the Case, November 9th and 10th in Dallas. Dallas Days and Fort
Worth Nights. Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th Century. The 4th Century. The best of the Church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about media coverage of positive religion stories. Terry Mattingly is our guest, Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He is founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, I have to wonder whether or not we really mean it when we say we want more positive religion stories or more positive news, period. Or maybe we just like saying that we want more.
Well, I mean, it could be something related to the fact that Christians say they want to see more positive TV shows and more family-oriented TV shows, even more Christian TV shows and movies. But when you look at the data on what people who say they are cultural conservative Christians actually do with their media and private time, it tends up to be pretty much the same thing as everybody else, except for a very small, hardcore percentage of people who are actually letting their faith influence what they do with their thumbs, whether they're on their phone or on the TV remote. So this is something I've been studying all the way since the early 90s when I briefly taught at Denver Theological Seminary and kept trying to bring this up to future ministers, that they needed to be more concerned about the actual media habits of their future parishioners, for the simple reason that I was arguing that the secular media does a much better job of evangelizing us, and especially our children, than the church does. And part of this is that we don't want to talk honestly about what our media habits are. Now, here in the news business, we're looking at an issue with lower impact for the simple reason that Americans consume way less news than they do entertainment. But I think it's something pretty similar. When I look at the traffic at Get Religion over the last 31 days, and you think about what's been in the news, it would probably not surprise you to know the makeup of the top 10 stories at Get Religion, or the top 10 posts in the last calendar month. You want to take a guess at what most of them are?
I think they're probably going to be the something related to the Vatican, to the Roman Catholic Church, and to Priestley scandal.
Yeah, that's the number one story by a country mile is a Julia Dean piece about Catholic news agency coverage of the Cardinal McCarrick or ex-Cardinal McCarrick saga. That post has like three times more readers than any other post in the entire month, 300, 400 times more readers, in large part because it got picked up and carried out into the Catholic niche of cyberspace. The next story is also a McCarrick story. The third one is a McCarrick story. Now, here comes an interesting one. The fourth one is a story about the Bill Hybels scandal, an evangelical Me Too story up in the Chicago area. That post is over a month old. Yet I looked in the figures for the last 2 days at Get Religion. That Hybels story in the last 2 days has twice as many readers as that story from the Knoxville front page, which is brand new. Now you say, well, maybe the Knoxville story will gain more readers. I've noticed that stories don't usually get hot after they've been on the site for a couple of days. That Hybels story, even though I'm not aware of any major retweets or reposts of it in evangelicalism, evangelicals, I would assume, are still out there reading about that story. Then we have another McCarrick story, another McCarrick story, another McCarrick story. And then the one story that I would consider kind of positive, it has a pop culture angle. I wrote a story about a Washington Post piece about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and tremendously influential band called The Byrds, and how they're doing a tour celebrating an album in which they dug into the roots of country music, an album called Sweetheart of the Rodeo. And an interesting angle of that story is that two of the key members of The Byrds that did that album have become Christians. And in this article talked about how they now understand some of the Christian content of the songs they sang 40, 45 years ago. Then we have another McCarrick story, another McCarrick story. You get the idea. I would say of the top 20 posts of the past 31 days at Get Religion, I would say that 17 of them are about the Catholic scandal. And once again, you would have to go three or four screens down into this to find the readership totals for this story about this amazing spiritual rebirth in Knoxville.
You say that if a celebrity or a sports figure or perhaps a politician has some sort of positive religious transformation or experience in their lives, that would be news. What's the difference?
Well, I mean, in this case, the Knoxville story was clearly on page one because it was linked to this tremendous, horrible crime that received just hours of television time and thousands of inches of news type over the last decade or so. So that's a classic example of a big story getting a follow-up. Now, it's more likely, maybe in a Bible Belt setting or something like that, if the quarterback of the Knoxville team, that would obviously be the University of Tennessee Volunteers, if you had some very public ministry or something on behalf of the superstar player of the team, I could see that getting religious material included in that story, and that would be played as a fairly big story. Now, my question is, I wish I knew more about what kind of readership this was actually drawing at the local paper. What we have found at Get Religion is consistently posts that we write critiquing positive stories about religion, and especially posts in which we praise the media for covering that positive story, those are the single least read and forwarded items to run on our blog. Nothing else comes close. The minute we say positive things about well-done stories about religion and spiritual issues, those are the posts that nobody reads and nobody forwards. I don't quite know how to react to that.
What does it tell you as a journalist?
Well, I think it returns us to the question of what is the internet about? What do people hook into? Is the internet primarily a way of shouting at the people who are already in your niche, and we tend to shout more about things that make us angry than we shout about things that are positive that make us inspired? I mean, maybe other than cat videos or funny little tidbits that make us laugh. The other point I want to make is something that takes me back a year. If you remember at the Issues Etc. conference, when I spoke there last summer, a year ago, I stressed to people that one of the most important things they could do was when their local paper printed quality coverage of religion, whether it's positive or negative, whether it's a controversial story or whether it's a spiritual story, when their newspaper does something right, and doing something right doesn't mean just that it's positive, it means that it's well done, that they treated people with respect, that they listened to voices on both sides of a story, and most of all, that they just got the ring of truth about what a particular story is about, and they got that into the paper. One of the most important things readers can do is let the editors know about it. Let the editors know that they saw the story, they appreciated the story, you want to call up and praise them for making the hard effort of doing that kind of story and taking it seriously. That's precisely the kind of feedback we need. Yet, what depresses me so much is that at Get Religion, presumably with readers that are highly motivated to care about what the press does, I would hope, care about what the press does right as well as what it does wrong. Once again, these are the stories that don't get a reaction. That instead of saying, oh my gosh, what an incredible story, I want to tweet that out. I want everybody at my church to know about this. This is really inspiring. That's not what happens.
I'm wondering part of the premise of Get Religion, the site you've been talking about, is the press doesn't get religion, that rather famous quote there. And do you think part of it has to do with the fact that we expect the press to mess it up? And when they just kind of report something that's generally right, they get their facts right, they get everybody's name spelled correctly, and they actually portray the situation in a positive light, they don't try to insert President Trump into the story where he doesn't fit or something like that, that it's just not as interesting to us when they do get religion.
But why is that? I mean, if we say we want to see better coverage, and we want to see the press get it right, I understand why people get mad about some of the stories that we write about at Get Religion. I mean, when the most powerful newspaper in the world says that, you know, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre is where Jesus is buried, I can understand why people, you know, go, what? What the heck? I understand that anger. I'm not talking about stories where they just get a few facts right. I'm talking about stories where the press does exactly what so many Christians and Christian leaders claim they want to see, which is investigate real spiritual realities, real stories about real people in which the practice of their faith and their prayers and the prayers of others make a difference and change lives. Why don't we respond positively? Why don't we want others to see that article and then ultimately let those editors know, yeah, that story got it right. More of that, please. Not just because it was positive. Not just because it was happy, clappy, happy little Jesus stories, as somebody has called them. This story on page one of the Knoxville News Sentinel was not a happy little religion story. This was a real, honest-to-goodness drama about a man recovering his faith after years in a personal hell following the horrific death of his daughter. That's a big story. That's a good story. It was well done. I find myself asking, if that's what we say we want to see more of, is that true? Why don't we react? Why don't we respond?
Well, then with only about 30 seconds here, one of the stories you referenced was the Willow Creek Me Too church angle that became a national story after the New York Times picked up on one of the allegations that was made against Bill Hybels, the former pastor there. I've interviewed the religion reporter for the Chicago Tribune several times on that very story. She's been writing about it. And I was wondering while you were speaking there, Terry, maybe a year or two from now, she might be tempted to go to her editor and say, I'd like to do a story on how Willow Creek's doing now. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's going to be a very positive story that they've survived this and that they're back on their feet and all those kinds of things. Why should her editor say, yes, that's the story you need to write. You wrote all the other stories. Yes, you need to write that story too.
Well, I mean, I think, frankly, if she takes that story to her editor, they'll say yes. I don't know if it'll be on page one to the same degree as the scandal was. A lot of that depends on what happens. You could do a follow-up story on the woman who brought this to the public's attention and tried to do it anonymously and then was outed and then wrote, I thought, very movingly about her own spiritual journey related to all this and how she kept her faith and how this is how she didn't want to hurt the church's ministry, that was her number one concern about this whole situation. I think that story will get covered. And if that gets covered, and if we write about it at Get Religion, will that post get anywhere near the traffic of the negative one? Based on the experiences that I've had, I would assume it wouldn't. And I think our listeners should think about that really hard and, frankly, be troubled.
Terry Mattingly is Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City. He is author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He's also founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, thank you very much for being our guest.
Glad to be here.
When we come back, Pastor Hans Feeney joins us. We're going to be talking a little bit about remembering the 2001 terrorist attacks. Yesterday, of course, was the anniversary. He has a framework, a lens, that he says we ought to use when we remember such things. We'll find out what it is after this.
It's difficult for others to know how to be a part of another person's grief in a tragic event such as a miscarriage.
Deaconess Catherine Ziegler Weber, editor of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September, Never Forsaken, God's Mercy in the Midst of Miscarriage.
But as Christians, we have a more significant death that unifies us, and that's what we have to cling to, is the cross.
Learn more about Never Forsaken at issuesetc.org.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod celebrates and affirms life from the time of conception until natural death, and every time in between. For this reason, LCMS Life Ministry is a program singularly devoted to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and the culture at large. Life Ministry provides educational materials, hosts conferences, and works closely with allies such as Lutherans for Life. For more information, visit lcms.org/life and follow LCMS Life Ministry on Facebook.
Concordia Seminary St. Louis is the Lutheran Federal Credit Union Ministry of the Month. During September, if you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or if you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to Concordia Seminary. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Good for you. Good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Yes, there is a Messiah in Seattle. Messiah Lutheran Church and Concordia Lutheran School have served North Seattle for over 60 years, and we invite you to join us on Sunday mornings at 8 and 10:45 with Bible study at 9:20. Messiah Seattle is proud to support Issues Etc. To learn more, watch our adult information class videos online or on DVD. Our website is messiahseattle.org, 206-524-0024.
The Substitute Organist Service, aptly abbreviated SOS, really has come to our rescue.
Pastor Jim Hollowatch of Christ Lutheran Church in Jackson, Mississippi.
With the ever-growing shortage of skilled musicians in our community, we were approaching a real crisis. But thanks to the Substitute Organist Service, help is always just minutes away. With its easy, intuitive interface, friendly customer service, and outstanding musicianship, you really couldn't ask for more.
You can find out more about the Substitute Organist Service at churchmusicsolutions.com.